So this is my parting prayer for all of you. Risk wholeness, aliveness, and freedom. It's Martin Luther King weekend, and it has been my practice to reflect on and preach into Dr. King's teaching on this Sunday, but it's Saturday every year. Most years I've chosen a sermon from which to preach, and this year I chose a much lesser-known text, Dr. King's speech to the Freedom Riders in the spring of 1961. The Freedom Riders were an integrated band of women and men who rode Greyhound buses across state lines with the goal of integrating interstate travel. Desegregated interstate travel had been the law of the land for quite some time, but it was effectively banned by the threat of violence and state laws. Like the sit-ins at lunch counters and the voter registration drives, the Freedom Rides were an action designed to ensure equal access to the rights of citizenship. It was a demand for freedom and a charge to the nation to live up to its ideals. Dr. King described his work with the Southern Christian Leadership Conference as a massive campaign to end segregation. He said, "We will seek to mobilize thousands of people committed to the method of nonviolence who will physically identify themselves with the struggle." I love that phrase. He said, "We must not stand up for ourselves alone, but in order to carry our nation back to those great wells of democracy, which were dug deep by the founding fathers in the formation of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. Freedom for ourselves, freedom for others. This is a primary reason that we gather." There's a line in a Leonard Cohen song I've always loved. It goes, and I won't sing it, "Like a bird on a wire, like a drunk in a midnight choir, I have tried in my way to be free. Like a worm on a hook, like a knight in some old-fashioned book, I have saved all my ribbons for thee." It's been cycling in my head for weeks, and I think it's because of this period of transition in which we find ourselves at South Church. This moment is an inflection point in my ministry and in yours. It's a natural time to pause and reflect on what it all means, why we do this, why we're here. And for me, it always comes back to freedom. It comes back to the foundational belief that none of us can be truly free until all of us are. We are, in the words of Dr. King, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. "I have tried in my way to be free," Mr. Cohen sings. "I have saved all my ribbons for thee." And his descriptions of himself reflect the challenge of it all, the human frailty, and also somehow the power and the beauty. About 8 or 9 years ago, must be 9, during another period of transition, I sat in the courtyard of Espresso Roma in North Berkeley, California. And I wrote in my journal, among a lot of other things, 5 words: whole, alive, free, and connect, serve. 3 adjectives, 2 verbs. They expressed what I believe the fruits of spiritual life ought to be. And they expressed the charge to act in tangible ways, to be doers of the word and not just hearers, in the words of the Apostle James. Again, this is my prayer, that you accept this challenge, this core demand of our faith: risk wholeness, aliveness, and freedom. Abet wholeness, life, and freedom in the world. I will not lie to you. It will probably not be easy. Freedom, as we know from the bumper stickers, is not free. But take heart. There are those who have walked this path before you to whom you can turn for inspiration and strength and insights, like the song. I think of my great-great-grandparents and their parents. They were Black women and men living in North Carolina in the waning days of slavery, the pressure cooker years before the start of the Civil War. They were free black people, but their freedom was circumscribed by law and circumstance. Their relative freedom depended on the passes they carried. I almost put the text of that pass on the cover of the Order of Service today, but I chose Fannie Lou Hamer instead. They could be re-enslaved for modest infractions, real or manufactured. They lived on the knife's edge. And this was the only reality they had ever known, the only place they had ever lived. The world beyond Wilmington must have felt like a great dark void, like the edge of the earth on world maps drawn before people discovered that the world was round. And yet, despite all that, they imagined a different future. They packed up, picked up, and moved on. They made the treacherous journey north to Oberlin, Ohio, and then east to New England. They set out for freedom, for a new life unlike any they had ever known. It wasn't perfect. Moving north of the Mason-Dixon line didn't mean full access to citizenship, but it did open new doors of opportunity through which they chose to walk. My great-great-grandfather became an educator, an architect, and a Unitarian. He found a message of liberation in our tradition and a commitment to manifesting that message among at least some of its people. I am the beneficiary of my ancestors' vision and courage. And their story is a reminder that I stand, that we stand, in a liberating stream of Unitarian Universalism. I think of them, and I think also today of Fannie Lou Hamer, the woman on the cover of the Order of Service. She's another of my heroes, a tower of courage and integrity to whom every American is indebted. Hamer was born into a sharecropping family in Mississippi in 1917. Sharecropping was slavery light in many ways. Sharecroppers were not allowed to leave the plantations, usually on which they worked, without permission of owners. There was an elaborate system of finance that bound the families to the plantations through debt and being forced to purchase food and supplies from the owners at inflated prices. And while black people technically enjoyed the rights of citizenship, there was a cultural prohibition against exercising those rights, backed up by the threat of violence. This is how Fannie Lou Hamer grew up. It's all she knew. But from a very early time in her life, she was determined to get away. One day in 1962, she attended a mass meeting sponsored by SNCC, the Southern Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. SNCC organizers were encouraging black people to register and vote. Mrs. Hamer said she never knew until that time that black people could vote. 72% of the people in her area were black, which means that if black people voted in large numbers, they could upend local power dynamics. So when the organizers asked who would go down to the courthouse to register, Mrs. Hamer volunteered. She went by bus with a group of people down to the courthouse and made her wishes known. The people on the bus were afraid, but when tensions started to rise, Mrs. Hamer began singing in her powerful, deep voice what would become her signature song, "This Little Light of Mine." And the people settled down a little. Days later, she had to flee from her home with her family to a friend's house. An attempt was made on her life there. She fled to a third location, but somehow an organizer tracked her down in that little plantation shack. This is the part I love. He walked in the door and found her sitting in a chair next to a wood stove. Her back was to the door. He said, "I'm looking for Mrs. Fannie Lou Hamer." She rose from her chair, not yet knowing who he was, not yet knowing whether he was friend or foe. She stood up and said, "I'm Fannie Lou Hamer." In later years, she would endure threats and a brutal beating at the hands of police officers in Winona, Mississippi, a beating that caused permanent damage to her internal organs. But after all that, she said, "From that time I began working, I never had a mind to stop. After that happened to me in Winona, I knew there wouldn't be anything to stop me other than death." I heard her say those words in an old recorded interview. When Mrs. Hamer said, "After that happened to me in Winona," I expected the sentence to end the way that I would have ended it. I expected her to say, "I lost my faith. I expected her to say, I had to retreat for a while. I expected her to say, I didn't know if I could go on, but she said, I knew there wouldn't be anything to stop me other than death. I will never be as strong as that woman. I cannot fathom moral courage like that or a will to live free that runs that deep. But we, bolstered by her example, can live into the outer reaches of our own capacity for moral courage, our own capacity for love and allegiance to life. Especially now, in these turbulent times, it matters that we embrace life, that we work for freedom for all people, that we try in our own way to be free. It matters that we, in the words of Dr. King, carry our nation back to those great wells of democracy which were dug deep by our founding fathers. Dear ones, dearest South Church, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. This is my blessing to you as you carry on. A blessing that I carry, and I hope Chris carries too. Be whole, alive, and free. Connect and serve. Make no mistake, the way will sometimes be hard. Freedom is neither free nor easy, but you are not alone. The towering figures of the past and the present are here with you. Let them be your strength and your inspiration as you discover the extent of your vision, your imagination, and your courage. Let their love be your consolation and your peace. Blessings to you on this path, traveling mercies, and all my love.